This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C and I'm Wong Shaoning. It has just gone past 6 a.m. in the morning. It's Tuesday, the 20th of April.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. And it seems to have started off quite a nice day, actually. Let's hope there's not going to be a rainstorm later on.
I think I saw lightning just now.
Okay, so the rain might come earlier.
I think so.
A little bit of relief for those who have gone back to work. And I gather a lot of people have actually done so by listening to the BFM traffic reports after the news. Because when you hear it, half of KL is in a traffic jam, especially like at 4:30 or like at 8:30 in the morning. So people are commuting.
I wonder if it's a blessing if the rain moves earlier. Because yesterday it was a bit earlier, right? At 2:30, 3:30.
Maybe it helps.
So it helps a bit because you're not jammed in with the jam itself.
Jammed in with the jam, Pete.
Exactly.
Philip, that's a new thing. But in the meantime, what interesting stories do we have this morning?
We're going to find out how much income you need to be absolutely happy.
I thought money doesn't bring you happiness.
Of course it does. What do you mean it doesn't? Why are you trying to burst my bubble, Shaoning?
It's a pipe dream people tell us, right?
Of course money brings happiness. Well, the research says it does to a certain point.
Okay.
But there are ways to maximize happiness, optimize it further.
Isn't this all down to what they say, you know, marginal utility, Haslow's hierarchy of needs? I mean, are we going to have a discussion on all that? And where money sits?
It's an S-curve.
It's an S-curve. Meanwhile, I'll be talking about one of these things that, you know, bring us joy, but we shouldn't be doing.
What is that?
Gossiping.
Gossiping.
And is gossiping good for you?
I think it's excellent. It's a much needed tool to help us unwind and have adult conversations. Are you fed up talking to children 4 or 5 years old and not being able to have adult conversations? I think many of our listeners are.
Well, not every conversation is a gossip session, right? But there is joy in it. I think we should acknowledge it. It's not necessarily always a bad thing. And as usual, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tell us whether gossip brings you joy, whether money does indeed buy you happiness. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We would really like to know what you think. But we'll have more for you in just a few minutes. But first, here's Ready to Start by Arcade Fire. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Ready to Start by Arcade Fire. I really like that song.
I do.
Did it wake you up?
I was awake way before this already. So,
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't need that to wake me up, but it was a great song, I must say.
Okay, I like the beat and I was half asleep. So I think the song just kind of like pushed me over the edge. And after the half cup coffee, I am ready to go.
Yay.
And it is 6:07 in the morning, which means I should be going. It is Tuesday and the 20th of April. And in front of us is this interesting article by the Wall Street Journal. Normally quite a serious business newspaper. But in their life and arts section, they have an article entitled Working From Home Has Created a Hole That Office Gossip Used to Fill.
I really miss office gossip.
Do you miss the office footstop first?
I don't miss the office as much as office gossip.
Okay.
I actually love the conversations we have. And the thing just to correct is that gossip necessarily isn't a bad thing.
Mm.
It can be also good, like, oh, hey, she or he crushed it in the presentation, or they did this, or it was cool and fun. It's a great way to build social connection. And
it doesn't always have to be negative,
it doesn't
right?
have to be negative, exactly. And I miss it a lot, especially it helps me in my work.
Oh, why? Are your colleagues very capo, is it? So
no,
that
no,
helps
no.
build rapport.
It helps me kind of get a sense of the mood before I enter a meeting. So, you know, you've got these situations where, oh, the boss is in really bad mood. Hey, watch out, watch out.
Oh, so the gossip is a form of the vibes. Like,
the vibe of the room. And it gives you a temperature check of what's happening.
Okay.
So you know how to adjust your situation accordingly. So I miss that. Because now, when I get into a meeting, I'm entering into a black hole.
Zoom.
It's a black hole called Zoom.
Yeah, it's either Zoom or Google Meets or Microsoft Teams.
Exactly.
You name it, one of them. Like, one of the many tech options which we have all come to live with, but not necessarily love.
Yes.
Okay, so I am a little, I probably am in agreement with you in that It's not just the gossip that I miss. It's just the normal interaction of being in the office. So coming to the office, I think all of us, some people have, of course, gone back to work full-time, 100%. Mm. Some of us, like even here at BFM, we still maintain rotations. And the rotations, they suck because you don't see everybody, right? You only see that rotation, that team that is in your rotation again and again and again. And you understand the necessity of it. I mean, it is a good way to kind of keep the office safe from COVID-19 in a way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It is a preventive measure, almost a necessity for some. Mm. But it doesn't create the ambience whereby we're all together. And I worry after 1 year, Philip, it's been more than a year, where we practice some form of office rotation. After a while, there will be some distance between you and the other colleagues in the other rotation. No matter how often you check in, no matter how disciplined you are in terms of meeting up on Zoom or communicating on WhatsApp, the physical presence cannot be beaten.
I agree. I mean, it sounds like we are heading into a two company within a company situation where there's one entity doing something else for this week and the other next week.
And the gossip doesn't... And you're right. The gossip gives us some insight into each other's lives.
Right.
And in a way, it allows us to know each other better. And then in turn, also know how better to react to you.
Correct.
And
correct.
Let's say I'm team lead. So I know that these things are going on in your life from the gossip. Then I know how to adjust what I need to give you in terms of instructions, maybe in terms of communication, maybe in terms of even how to, you know, incentivize you or motivate you.
Right. And you know how to make the appropriate jokes as well. Because the situation is, you don't know what to say because you don't have the context a bit. And you
Emojis
don't cut it.
Right?
Right, yeah.
But I don't know what else we can do. I mean, are there practical ways around this though?
So there is a lot of digital gossip tools around there.
Call WhatsApp?
Yeah, it's called WhatsApp, essentially. I don't think it really works. And we were just joking about it yesterday where one of our colleagues, she was going to host us for her Raya party. So we said, why don't we have a plexiglass between team A and team B so that we all can still see each other, but hey, not actually, and still break boundaries, you see?
That's kind of cute. I never thought about the plexiglass. Well, one big plexiglass between the in the living room.
Yeah. So we should all do for Raya parties, guys out there, please just have a plexiglass for team A and team B in your respective rotations. That's how we all can bond together.
But yeah, it's like 1 year of this, you know, and I don't know. It's like how long more is this new normal going to be? I mean, even after vaccinations, and I think we should emphasize, vaccinations are not, doesn't mean you don't get COVID-19. It just means that the chances of you dying or the chances of you having severe symptoms is much, much, much less.
Yep.
So this is all going to be the new normal. Offices coming back together, maybe. I guess everyone will have to make a risk-based decision, right? An analysis whether it's something that the office wants to consider doing. But in the meantime, I think interactions in the office, morale pays a price. And the gossip is a byproduct of it, you know?
It's a fascinating point because we were thinking about future design of offices. And one of the big things is that the future office has to be a place of collaboration, not necessarily a place of work. Mm. Because you can work wherever you want. But why come to the office? It is to collaborate, to meet together and to discuss things. And naturally, things like gossip, your personal life, all will just spill out
sharing.
Naturally.
And it's also the act of sharing, right? I mean, one thing that we do on the morning run every Monday is at 5 o'clock is to exchange our baked goods. It's almost a ritual for our team. We're like a little bit excited, like 5-year-olds. What did you bring?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that in the office, you can't do that. It's just not the same, right?
That's right. And we always think about, okay, we've done this for this team, but how about the other team?
Yeah. So tell us what you think. Tell us whether you miss the physical office. Is it gossip just alone, or are there a lot of other things that perhaps you took for granted a year ago that now you think, I would really, really like that back. Maybe not the traffic jams, getting to work, but certainly there are other things you do miss. As always, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or of course, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll have some messages, but keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Ticket to Ride by The Beatles, 6:19 in the morning, Tuesday the 20th of April, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Up next, an article in the rather she magazine, The Atlantic.
Excuse
not referring
me.
To the sea, but a magazine.
Excuse me, Oprah Winfrey likes the magazine.
I actually do like the magazine as well. I think it's got a nice, it's kind of like a New Yorker, but not a New Yorker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the article is entitled, How to Build a Life, How to Buy Happiness, The Joys of Money Are Nothing Without Other People. And it's chosen, of course, by you, Philip.
Of course.
Of course. So tell us about it. Why?
Okay.
I thought money brings you happiness with or without people.
Oh, for sure, right? For sure, for sure. But some history here. I think we've always tried to find out that ultimate question, does money buy happiness? And in the early stages, it's like, yes, to a certain limit. So then the question is, what is that limit? Right?
What is the amount?
Because okay. We all know that if you're poor, money will buy you happiness because you need to meet certain needs. You have a calorie deficit, your children need to go to school. So the
shelter, right?
The basics. Maslow hierarchy, okay. Classic Maslow hierarchy. But there will come a point of time at what level? Now, of course, these professors all kind of ding dong. In 2010, it was 75,000. Of course, in real money, 92. Now it's 100,000. And they're saying after that, the happiness plateaus.
Does it?
Apparently. Now, okay. I know to all you Bangsa folks out there with
Who
nice...
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking to all the Bangsa folks with nice European cars and villas and condos. Fret not. There's actually a little kink to the formula
uh-huh.
that happiness can continue to increase if you do a couple of things, which is you involve others in terms of how you spend the money.
You mean you have to share?
Yes, you have to share.
But does it for those people might be thinking, but if I share, then I have less money. So will that still make me happy?
Right. So sharing means you break it into three parts. One is having experiences.
Okay.
Okay. Secondly, buying time. And the third is giving money to charity, right? So that's the third dimension you talked about there. The first one is experiences. So instead of the physical things, like going out for nice experiences, holidays with people, I think elevates the happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Having a nice meal together in a group is one of those things, I think, for sure. Yeah. And traveling in a group is also another thing. Actually, just doing things with other people. I think we haven't learned that lesson in COVID-19. I don't know what lesson you've learned. Really, because a lot of us were ending up doing stuff alone or maybe just as a couple or within your immediate family, right? It was, especially in the early days of COVID-19. Mm. Maybe now we're starting to have a bit more interaction with our friends. So yeah, I do miss it. And you're right. It does bring joy. It does spark joy,
yes.
Right? And it could just be as simple as having lunch to, in the good old days, going on a holiday together.
Yep. Instead of buying the third Lamborghini Shaoning, it's about using it and redirecting it to those you care about, your friends, your family, and doing things together and sharing. And I recall that to be true because I have an uncle who is pretty well-to-do. And I realized for
him... Does he need a niece?
No. He doesn't need a niece.
A goddaughter?
He's got a nephew like me.
Does he need another goddaughter? I put up my hand quickly. I bake nice cakes, Philip.
That's true. I'll tell him that. But one of the things he did was, because he was ultimately wealthy quite fast, he started sharing that wealth a lot by taking us on really nice holidays. And I think it brought him great happiness and joy.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's also whether, let's be honest, you have to have that bit of generous spirit and you enjoy that generous spirit. You have joy from watching other people enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
But not everybody is like that, right? So maybe there are some people with tons of money and who are still miserable nonetheless. Okay, a little sad to them, a little bit of a Scrooge. But I think you're right. I think if anything COVID-19 has taught us is that, yes, money is important. Mm. If you don't have it, you can really have a tough time in life. No jokes about that. You know, you won't be living in a nice place. Maybe even basic things like, what can I afford this lunch? Can I afford that dinner? How do I get from point A to point B? All these things really do matter.
Yeah.
But at some level, when you've gotten to a certain level of comfort, then you have to ask yourself, you know, what else? What else is really the accumulation of more material things going to make me happy?
A friend of mine, and he's a bit of a nerd, an economist, he has on his tattoo that...
He's not that nerdy if he has a tattoo, but never mind.
Well, he's a nerdy tattoo, which is a mathematical equation, which is my life is a sum of all my relationships.
Ah.
And it is so true.
Is it relationships and experiences altogether?
It depends. For some people, it's relationships. I've seen that formula where it's a sum of all relationship or sum of all experiences.
Yeah.
But for him, it was relationships. And I think you hit the nail on the head. If you combine the relationships and experiences together, I think we have the potential to have a truly rich life.
Yeah, that's true. And money is not the only determination of what is rich, right? And I think we should really consider that as a concept because, let's face it, we live in KL, urban centre, capital of Kuala Lumpur, capital of Malaysia. It's all very like chase yeah. the new thing, chase the latest thing, buy the latest thing, eat at the most expensive restaurant. Social media doesn't help. People post pictures. There's envy, of course. But is it really ultimately going to make you happy? For some people, yes. For some people, less so. And then when you look around and you look back at your life, when you're, you know, in those final moments, maybe that will determine what really truly made you happy, right? And maybe it wasn't that omakase meal, but that simple dinner you had with your friends, where you wore your t-shirts and shorts and had the greatest time in your life.
Or the omakase people with people you really cared with.
Yeah. Sometimes it is the omakase meal with the friends you care. But as usual, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio because I, Philip and I, want to know what actually sparks joy in your life. What makes you happy? And maybe a bit more of a mathematical question. What is the amount that you think you need to reach to get to that happiness? Whether it's 100,000 ringgit, 200,000, 1 million, 10 million, let us know what you think.
And when you do, we'll give you my bank account number. Thank you.
Yes. But up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us there is Tough Enough by the fabulous Thunderbirds. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, California by Phantom Planet. It's 6:38 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 20th of April. And you're listening to Morning One with Philip C. And I'm Wong Xiaoning. I think I just want to go anywhere. I'm not even dreaming of California.
New York also can, right?
Well, PD also can, Philip. My needs are very simple, okay?
PD. Sekinchan lah. We do
Sekinchan. Yeah, Sekinchan. I just want to get out of KL. I think I'm not the only one. I think a lot of people are feeling it. You know, we do know that we should stay at home and we shouldn't be running around. Yeah. COVID cases are still extremely high. And as usual, I like to remind people, 3,770. 377132 cases in Malaysia and unfortunately 1,386 deaths so far. Mm. Number of COVID cases in the world, more than 3 million have passed away.
Yeah, it is quite sad statistics. But we have some promising developments. I think we were just saying, it's not Australia and New Zealand have opened a travel bubble.
I know, good news for them, right? Yeah. So they apparently, which are going to allow travellers from both countries to enter and exit without having to undergo quarantine. But we do know, this is a fact, they have contained their respective COVID-19 outbreaks, kept infection rates very low, and that's largely due to very tight restrictions.
Yes, I mean, they've had this conversation of having a bubble for, I think, good close to 6 months already, and now I think it's bearing to fruition. Very important to see whether the bubble will burst and if COVID infections will rein back the bubble. It's not the first travel bubble. The first one was Taiwan and the island of Palau. And
I'm not sure there's that much traveling between those two places, right?
But can you imagine a Taiwanese tourist like, finally, I can go to an island resort.
Beach.
But it's such an important travel bubble, this Australia, New Zealand, for especially New Zealand, where 40% of travellers and domestic tourism is dependent on Australia itself.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's an interesting fact. So it has some, of course, aside from families getting together, there is definitely going to be an economic benefit. But this travel bubble is not without its restrictions. So to fly under the bubble rules, passengers must have spent 14 days before departure in either Australia or New Zealand, and they must not be awaiting the results of a COVID test, nor have had any COVID symptoms among others criteria.
It'd be very interesting to see whether this is a successful test case. And I think if it is, you'll see it roll out much faster in Asia. Now, this whole concept of travel bubbles is a very Asian thing. You don't see that conversation happening in Europe or even America. And so in Asia side, we have Singapore, Hong Kong. That's quite a much anticipated travel bubble. And of course, for us, Malaysia, Singapore.
It's a critical one.
It's super critical.
Do you know, I like to reference the Singapore Straits Times, right? And they did a wonderful short video where they interviewed, if I'm not wrong, three Malaysians who work for the Singapore Post. And it's a short form video. And these boys, these gentlemen, have not seen their families for over a year.
Yeah.
Because they decided when the borders were closed to go down to Singapore, be there, work, because the money was important. And how they have coped with their lives in that 1 year. You know, imagine not seeing your family that is so near, which is usually just not more than an hour ago.
So true. I think also the resurgence of leisure travel will start not with the classical tourists, but those visiting friends and relatives. It's reconnecting with loved ones that have been separated through borders. I think that will be the first surge of travel that will take place in the short term when it opens up.
Yeah, and then of course, other important news for all you football fans out there. The football world, apparently not happy, not all are happy about this new European Super League masterminded by the biggest football clubs. So this European Super League has got a new name, ESL, will have 20 teams. Of these, 15 founding members will be permanent and never face relegation, which I'm like, come on, like, if you're crap, you should face relegation, okay? Why should you be there just because you were a great many, many years ago when it first started? Okay, but then mind, let's argue about that later. So 5 other sides will qualify each year. 12 clubs have signed up so far from England, Italy and Spain. Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, Man U, Tottenham would join AC Milan,
Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, Madrid, Barcelona, Inter Milan, Juventus and Real Madrid. Now, France and German clubs have said they will not take part.
So anecdotal evidence I'm hearing is please don't burn your jersey shirts because it's World Earth Day this Thursday and we really don't want any more CO2 emissions coming out. But I can sense the frustration and anger among so many of our listeners because really this screams of elitism.
Well, you know why they're doing this, right, Philip?
Yeah, it's for the money. It's for the broadcasting rights.
It's all down to the money, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, they're not doing this because, oh, you know, it's the love of the game and we want to create a league that's more interesting. This is like everybody trying to think, how can we monetize this more? Because the other league, which is, if I correct me, I'm wrong, the Champions League or the English Premier League, I think there were negotiations about the share of, you know, whether it's TV rights, share of all the sponsorship.
Yep.
There was some debacle. People were not happy. So they're like, okay, lah. You're not giving us enough. We create our own league where we get more money. What about the football fans? Are you happy?
Yeah, no, and I think it's also terrible that you don't really see this progression of football careers because many people start at the base. And how do you build your football career up? And I think segmenting out the league doesn't make sense. But I think, Shawnee, we'll be covering this much more extensively in a couple of days.
Tomorrow. Do tune in at 7:30. Of course, WhatsApp us. Let us know what you think. You know, there are many, many football fans in Malaysia who like probably have never been to Man United, but somehow think that they are Man U fan. But, you know, markets like it.
Yeah.
Because Manchester United is listed and it's actually up 6% yesterday. And Juventus is also up close to 18% because everyone's just looking at the dollar signs and thinking, huh, how much money can I make out of this?
And these billionaires are just hoping to get more billions out of this.
But there was one football captain, manager that resigned.
Yes, Jose Mourinho. Mourinho.
Who from Tottenham,
yes,
right?
Because but that's underperformance.
Oh, so that was not because he disagreed with more money?
I don't think so.
All right. Apparently, the UK government has said that it will do whatever it takes to prevent the ESL from going on as proposed. So we'll be watching this space very closely. I think it's a very, very divisive creation of a football league, whether it's going to take place, who knows, and will it really annoy the fans even now as we speak? Because the Football Cup, really, if not for its fans, what would it be?
The question is whether it's a tactic for better negotiating rights.
Maybe, because it's all about the money. As usual, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-99 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll be looking at the front pages of our newspapers. Keep here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was A Change Would Do You Good by Sheryl Crow. It's 6:50 in the morning, Tuesday the 20th of April, and of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, before we run literally to the newspapers or the headlines, let me read some of the social media that has come in. And this is on a tweet, and this is with reference to gossip in the office. You know, what do they miss most about the office? And Sengat Nenas said that just having quick discussions with whoever's around the spot without having to send calendars.
Amen to that.
You know, and I like to say the morning run calendar is the most confusing calendar in the universe because it's multicolored. It's like a rainbow.
Yeah.
And there are so many boxes. Sometimes I'm really confused who is where and what. And I have to like, can I invite them now? Is it time? And it could be like something to just to have a Zoom call to ask something mundane, which in the past you would have probably just walked over to the person's table or when the person is in the pantry and can I, you know, you want to do this or not? How? And then sort it in 5 minutes.
I've been blocked on 1 hour Zoom calls for something that could have been discussed in 3 minutes many times. So I fully agree with Sengat Nenas. Okay. That was Sengat good.
Sengat good. And then we have S.C. Koo chiming in terms of how much is enough to make you happy or to buy happiness for the rest of your life. And he says, enough for me to backpack around the world until I die.
Wow. Well, can I join you?
I think S.C. Koo, Wanderlust, I'm sorry at this moment, the backpacking is probably just around the Klang Valley if you live here. I'm not sure where you're running around to because borders, sadly, still close. Right.
Soon, opening soon.
We pray. But in the meantime, what's in the front pages of our newspapers?
Oh, Malaysian Reserve front page. High freight rate, container shortages to linger for 8 more months. Now, that's pretty shocking. I think for many of you in the business of manufacturing and moving of goods, freighter rates have skyrocketed to historic levels between $6,000 to US $10,000 per container compared to, check this out, $55 to $300 per container before the pandemic.
Yeah, I think we have covered this story many, many times with the different shippers. It's the question mark is for me is this going to end up costing... making things more expensive for us.
Yep.
Right? Because we live in a global world where supply chains are all interconnected. Very often is the end product just made in one country. Components are shipped everywhere. Maybe it's then put together in one place and then shipped to Malaysia. Now, if there's a shortage of liners or containers, what does this mean for the eventual final price of the good? Is it going to rise?
Yeah,
is inflation here something that we've not experienced in the last, 5-6 years, honestly?
I'm going to ask whether this is sustainable and whether this can sustain, because if this is the case, I think logistics cost is going to continue to skyrocket. And I think manufacturers are going to begin localizing a bit more. And globalization, as it's from an economic sense, will not have any economic value.
Mm.
And so that's going to be a very important development to see whether they can sustain these rates. Because one of the biggest issues is that the cost of a new container has also gone up. It's gone up to about $3,500 from about $2,000 before. So I think there are a lot of dimensions to this, but very worrying development in my view.
But for sure, I think shipping tends to be like oil and gas, boom and bust. Okay, So now we're having a bit of a boom. Talking about booms, a little bit of good news. This is in the CEOH Morning Brief, and it's on page 3, where the government has announced its partnership with Microsoft under the Bersama Malaysia Initiative, which will see the hyperscaler establishing its first data center region in Malaysia. What's a hyperscaler? This is the first time I've seen this word, though.
Yeah, I'm clueless as well. We'll have to research on this.
Yeah, because I'm like, what does this mean? But anyway, apparently it's a 1 billion ringgit initiative or 4 billion ringgit over the next 5 years. So this is Microsoft's data center region, which will effectively consist of multiple data centers managing data from various countries.
Yeah, I mean, linking to that, I think the government, I think with the announcement with Prime Minister Muhyiddin, the government intends to also migrate 80% of its data to cloud by end of next year. Now, that's a pretty tall order, I think, but a very worthwhile target to achieve.
Mm. Mm. Now, another headline, because it's Grab. Grab's very sexy, right? Because they're doing a spec in New York and apparently a secondary listing in Singapore. Now, the CEO Morning Brief has also said that the appellate court will allow Grab to have the merits of its challenge under the proposed 87 million ringgit fine by MyCC. You remember there was this case, I think 87 million ringgit. Huh?
Mm.
not a lot of money for Grab, but maybe they do want to push this case forward and come up with a conclusion.
Short change.
But that's all from the local papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking with Joe Quinlan, chief market strategist from the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. But first to take us there is Have You Seen the Rain by CCR. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.